Welcome to Living Above the Drama. I'm your host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio, and today I have a very interesting guest. Dr. Wen Cai completed his PhD in tourism at the University of Surrey and currently lectures at the University of Greenwich in London, where he speaks on tourism and hospitality. Before joining Greenwich, Wen had various working experiences both in the industry and academia, one with the world's leading tourism operator, TUI, and the other at the University of East Greenwich, I believe, in London. Before coming to the UK, he was president of the student union at Fujian Normal University in China and was in charge of various projects in relationship to human resource management, strategic planning, and event management. He recently completed a study on the effects of cell phones and social media use on young adults and what happens when the phones and the social media are not available. I am so excited about this, talking to him about this, which is the main reason I invited him to come on the show, because it's such an amazing topic. Wen's area of expertise and research interests are intracultural communication, mobilities, studies, tourism, backpack tourism, and Chinese outbound tourism. He has a strong interest in interdisciplinary collaborations and is currently collaborating on research projects with academics from the UK, New Zealand, Finland, and China in the disciplines of sociology and information systems. Wen has published articles in the top journals in his field. Wen, I hope I got all of that right. That is that's a lot. Okay. But I'm delighted to have you on the show. And it really makes you sound like such an academic. But in talking to you in the pre-interview, I know you share my passion for, you know, really taking a look at how our modern culture, how our technology culture is changing people. And we have much for you to share with us and to talk about. So why don't you start at the beginning? I know you received your first degree. You're from China, and you received your first degree in China in electrical engineering, but you didn't like it.
I didn't like it at all.
So you went abroad to study, so you surprised everybody with realizing that you liked traveling around and that you were going to go to a school where you could study what you wanted to do. Tell us about that. Tell us about you at the university and how that kind of changed your whole life.
I think it's like a moment of life. You have the enlightening moment, and you never know when does this moment come. Because if you ask myself back in when I was 22 years old, just finished my degree, from China, I wouldn't know I would be a tourism academic and sitting now here talking to you. I would never imagine that. I probably thinking about, well, I could be an electronic engineer somewhere, and that could be the rest of my life, working in China. But having an opportunity abroad really changed my life. Especially, I had a chat with you. I secretly changed my subject when I come abroad, because when I apply for my master program in Surrey, actually I got an offer for human resource management. Based on my experiences working in student union back in China. But I really found that it's not really my passion. I know I can do it right, but that is not really my passion. My passion is still travel and still to talk to people, to get to know different culture. And that is what I really like to do. So when I got the opportunity to change a subject, I did without any hesitation. And I have to tell my parents afterwards, because at the time they pay my tuition fee for my master program. So it's a very funny memory when I think back. But that's really a life-changing moment. This is kind of starting my ladder, building a ladder towards a career as a tourism academic and doing the tourism-related research now.
Right. Well, you are working as an academic, but you're also doing your research, which feeds into your passion, which is traveling and meeting people.
Yeah.
Yes? Yeah.
Yes, totally.
Okay.
And
so,
for
yeah.
us, as sorry.
What's it?
I mean, for us as an academic, we teach, but we also do research, and it's kind of a combination for both. And what we research are very important to kind of transfer into our teaching. And it's like they cannot separate it.
Right. Well, I think, isn't it true that you do have to be doing research as an academic to continue with, you know, your position? I mean, isn't that a
yeah.
requirement? Yes, yes. So you were sharing with me. I don't know where to go with this interview because there are so many things. So many things I want to jump
right.
on.
Pick up one.
I know. And let's start with your research, the research you just finished.
Yeah.
Why don't you describe that to listeners?
So our recent research is a research looking at digital detox holiday. So we invite 24 participants to join this in-depth qualitative research to look at how their emotion changes throughout this period of digital detox. Because nowadays, as we know, millennials, Generation Z, we are so hooked to our mobile phone. We are so worried about missing out a piece of information or a message or a post or an email from your boss. So it's kind of this constant connectivities really drain people. People feel tired of it, and they really find need to find an escape out of it. So we're recruiting these participants who already wanted to do this digital detox. But what is really interesting is in the first few days, especially first 24 hours, most participants experience a withdrawal symptom, even
mm-hmm.
though they really wanted to
right.
To turn off their mobile phone. They still feel like, oh, it's similar to similar to giving up alcohol or giving up coffee. It's like the first few days is very difficult, and they suffering for different emotions such as frustration, anxiety, and they really sometimes some of them cannot take it anymore. They have to turn their phone back because they're so addicted to their mobile phone.
I was going to say, you know, sometimes it's the actual experience of the cell phone, and sometimes it's the emotional sense of being connected. Yes, you found that out
yes.
too, yeah?
Totally. So a lot of our participants, they just have they don't really need it. They just have an emotional relationship with the mobile phone. Sometimes they just need to tap their pocket to see if it is there, have their phone, unlock it, don't even need to check anything and put it back to the pocket. It's just these kind of small things. They start building this relationship with their mobile phone, and mobile phone is kind of becoming part of their body. So when they are giving up this piece of technology, they really feel something is missing, even though they don't really need it. They don't really need the functional part of the mobile phone. And this is what they're really struggling. So when they get to the end of the first stage, the withdrawal symptom. So a lot of participants say, okay, let us. I don't have my mobile phone. I need to get used to it. So as long as they get used to the first stage, then they start to realize actually digital detox is very fun, and they really start to appreciate their surroundings. Pay more attention to the street sign, talking to locals, spending more time with their families and friends or travel companions. So this kind of embodied experience make them more grounded, more connected with the actual holiday experience. And they really make the experience different from others when they are connected, because when you are connected to the mobile phone, it is so easy to get distracted. It is so easy to think about, hey, I need to take a photo here, take a photo there, and post on Facebook and see how many likes I got. And after a few hours, I might see, oh, hey, what's wrong with my mom? Why my mom hasn't liked my post yet? So this kind of distraction is not really helpful for you to create a holiday experience that is relevant. You're supposed to be enjoying the moment when you're on holiday, but not being distracted by this irrelevant stuff. So a lot of participants find a lot of surprise as well. Something they didn't, it doesn't show on the travel guidebook. It doesn't show on this advisor, but by talking to locals, they find something amazing, some new site or some lovely local restaurant. They can try authentic local food. So it's something out of their expectation. And when tourists, the experience is out of their expectation, they develop into a very strong level of satisfaction. So they end up with very happy, very memorable, this whole experience, and they really love it. And then when we go to the later stage is, okay, this is the end of the holiday, and then you need to switch on your mobile phone. Okay, a lot of participants, they actually feel anxious. They were thinking about, oh, what's going on? I might get thousands of emails waiting for me. My friends might go crazy when where I am. This person got lost or something like that. But a lot of participants also got disappointed as well when they switch on their mobile phone, because they actually didn't get that much messages. And they might think about, oh, actually, I'm not that important. It is always me thinking about I'm the important person, but actually I'm not. And that makes them think, makes them to reflect their relationship with the technology. Thinking about what is going on with me and technology. Am I being a slave with the mobile technology? Not me being the person, the user, who should take control of the technology. So participants start to reflect this relationship with the technology after the digital detox holiday. And we really hope they can bring this idea back to their daily life, to thinking about, hey, am I checking my mobile phone too often? Maybe I should spend more valuable time with my families. And instead of checking my phone on the dinner table or something like that. So we really hope our participants can get benefit from
We talked about this. There are a couple of comments I want to make. Yeah. First of all, today, in today's world, we talk about narcissism, which is like, you know, 35% of the population has become wildly self-absorbed. And basically what has happened is the phone technology and the, you know, the social media has led, as you were saying, to people to think about, oh, I didn't get enough likes, or, oh, you know, I mean, gee, I'm not as popular as I thought I was. I think that the technology has led to self-centered narcissistic behavior, number one. I mean, the fact that you can't live without having somebody in touch with you or complimenting you or liking you or, you know, texting you. What does that say? That's very self-absorbed, don't you think?
We actually have a word for that. So currently we are living in an attention economy. We're constantly wanting people's attention. And if you don't get the attention, you might think about, hey, what's going on? Right? And also we have very short span of attention as well. And it's kind of because people are losing the patience, losing the, also constantly looking for feedback and seeking attention as well.
Right. And, you know, if we look at this almost metaphorically, the truth of the matter is that human beings do need to be connected. They do need that we are interdependent people. And what has happened is when technology takes you away from talking to a person, looking at a person, visiting a person, being with a person, and now you're isolated and just tapping away and communicating in this electronic way, it really does change the way that relationships function. And that has to impact the psyche of the individuals. And I think that from what you were telling me, that's really what your research has been about. Because, look, you were talking about being on vacation. Of course, yeah, okay, it's great to enjoy your holiday, but what about the rest of your life? So you leave your vacation, you go home, and you get back to that same madness. Have you done any work on seeing what happens, like if you can get people to reduce how much they're doing this in their day-to-day lives?
So we are actually now applying for funding to further research about participants coming back from digital detox holiday to see how they change the behavior, the pattern of using technology. I think it's really important people doing this in their daily life. So actually, this digital health is kind of becoming more and more trendy nowadays, because if you look at the developers, a lot of mobile phone developers, they start to put on the screen time. So which means they can tell you how much time you're spending on your mobile phone last week. And this could be a small reminder to tell you, hey, are you spending too much time now? And maybe you should reduce the time you're using it. I think it is we need to look at digital technology as we're not only to critique it or to criticize it. We need to thinking about, well, it got its pros and cons, and we really need to look at what is the benefit and what is the negative consequences it brings.
All
So earlier you mentioned about technology kind of allow us to reach out to a much wider people, like me and you. Now you are in the States, I'm now in London, and we can talk in this way. It's that we need to think to the technology. We can, like my mom now, my parents now live in China, but when they want to reach me, they can reach me straight away through a message. It's so easy nowadays. However, when this kind of technology become more easier and easier, people seems kind of really enjoying this idea of texting and chatting on social media instead of the human-to-human interaction. And remember, human-to-human interaction is quite so different from a text message or from a phone call.
Absolutely.
See the expression. You can feel it. It's kind of all the five senses are structured and build your memories. And the experience is completely different. So we still need to value the importance of human-to-human interaction. I think this should not be taken away at all.
Well, I agree. I think we have to look at both sides of it. And you and I were kind of making a list when we were talking the other day. And, you know, we talked about things like I had told you what my colleagues at Dana-Farber had shared with me about the very significant uptick in young people's cancers, especially around the parts of the body where there's a lot of, you know, cell phone radiation. And I was saying to you, what's shocking is how many young people sleep with their phones next to them, with their laptops or their tablets. I mean, they're sleeping, getting radiated, okay? And they can't even separate from their cell phones or their social media, even while they're sleeping. That's kind of shocking. So there is a very dark side to this, if we look at it. And one of the things, I got a kick out of one of the things you were saying about the people going on vacation. You said, what's the point? Why not just stay home? Because you were talking about how people are in these foreign countries and all this stuff's going on, and they're hidden in their cell phone. I mean, that's kind of outrageous, isn't it?
Yeah, that's totally. When you're on holiday, you're supposed to be enjoying the moment, not on BBC News, checking about what's happening or Brexit, or it's like, or what's your friend having another dinner party or something like that. This is like your daily life. And the idea of travel, I'm not sure, do you know about the history of travel, but one of the main main motivation of people going away is to escape from the daily life.
Sure.
This is one of the main push for people's going on holiday at the very beginning, even though before the mass tourism kicked in. So people, a lot of backpacker hippies, they're going away is just to escape from the mundane daily life. They want to escape. But with a mobile phone with you, you cannot escape at all. You're constantly being connected and also being surveillance as well. People are watching you, seeing what you do. And you might think about, okay, because people are watching me, what I'm doing, I'm supposed to be going to certain places to check in, such as if I'm in Italy, I probably need to go to some famous attraction to take some photos to show my friend back home to say I was there. So with this kind of motivation, it's kind of changing the whole idea of travel. It's not surrounded by you, but you are being controlled by the social expectation. Also your mood will be affected by stuff is irrelevant to you, such as news, other social media posts. Also, really annoyingly, is a work email. So a lot of people getting work email, and one work email can really, really ruin your holiday. So
I'm not sure
how. I'm not sure. I a lot of things I reflect on myself. I did that to myself. So I have my work mail on my phone, and sometimes when you are away on weekend, you just kind of open your work mail all the time. It's kind of part of a habit. And then zoom, another email coming in, oh, your paper get rejected. And it's really ruined my mood for the whole weekend.
Absolutely.
So this kind of stuff is really, really, it can really ruin the whole holiday experience.
Absolutely. When we have to take a break, a commercial break for now.
Mm.
When we come back, we're going to talk some more. I would like to talk about what you were describing to me, how the people on the detox, you know, how they felt that there was a part of their body missing and how they went into frustration and anger and anxiety and fear and all of this stuff. I think it would be very interesting to take a look at the kind of emotional experiences that your subjects in your study experienced. But we're going to take a short break. We will be back. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a moment with Wen Che and his wonderful, interesting story about cell phones and social media. Don't go away.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful, pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information, about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way. What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
And we're back. We're talking to Wen Kai, who is a very interesting actual academic in London. He's teaching at one of the universities there, and he's teaching about tourism, and he's teaching about culture, and he has also been experimenting and working in the field of research as part of, you know, his work as an academician. And he just is sharing with us some of the fascinating aspects of a study that he just finished about what happens when you try to detox people from their cell phones and their social media. So before the break, I was asking when we come back, talk about, he was describing when we had our pre-interview, the emotions of frustration, anger, anxiety, fear, all the things that these people go through when their connection through their cell phones is taken away.
Yeah.
So if you wouldn't mind, Wen, tell us about how many individuals were on the detox and how did they individually react?
So we have 24 participants and they are all quite different. So depends on, I would say really depends on a couple of different factors. So firstly is how addicted to your mobile phone in the daily basis. So this is really a main factor, because the more you get addicted to your mobile phone, the more difficult, the bigger withdrawal symptom you might facing when you the mobile phone is taken away from you.
Right.
Another thing is if you are, you have a travel companion or not. So if you are a solo traveler and you are going for vacation without a mobile phone, it is kind of difficult, I would say. And without a person or a group of people next to you to support you, you might find in a foreign environment, it is rather difficult. Another thing is what kind of destination you're going to. So if you're traveling to a urban destination such as London or New York for the first time, a big city with a very complicated public transport system, and there's so many different restaurants, and there's so many streets and massive city, you might get lost, especially for my generation of people. We don't use actual map that much anymore. We're using our Google Map all the time. So it might take a while to get used to the actual map and navigating around the city without a digital device. So there's a couple of different factors. And another factor is what kind of the commitment you have back home. So I remember a participant, her dog got sick before she going away. So with this commitment back there and make her worried, constantly worried about her dog. So in the end, she cannot take it anymore, and she have to switch on her mobile phone to check. Another case is the work commitment as well. So if you are taking a holiday without giving a hangover your job duties well to your colleagues, you might worry about what if your colleague cannot handle the duty, the responsibility, and you might want to check your mail. So this commitment, if you have travel companion, the type of destination, and how addicted to your smartphone, or have different factors influencing individuals' emotions. But I would say the emotions start to kick in before they disconnect, before the holiday even started. So all these participants agree to do our research before the holiday started. So they kind of have a period of time to get ready for it. But when the holiday, with the vacation time approaching, they might start to thinking about, oh my God, I'm going to travel without my mobile phone. Can I deal with it or not? So at this time, they're thinking about, oh, I'm going to lose the convenience of the mobile phone. I'm going to lose the information acquisition of the mobile phone, such as if I'm visit a cathedral, I cannot quickly check about what's the information for cathedral. I lose the safety function of the mobile phone. I cannot report my safety to my partners or loved ones or families. So all these emotions, they start to build up already before they go in digital detox. So we call them pre-withdrawal symptoms. So a very common emotion is anxiety. But also some participants might feel quite excited as well, because they take it as an experiment, and all of them are self-motivated as well. So a mixed feeling of excitement and anxiety. So this is before they're going into the digital detox holiday. And when they're going into the holiday, this is what I mentioned earlier, they're suffering from the withdrawal symptoms. So they find frustration, anxiety, feel isolated. Some participants even feel jealous as well. We have a very interesting participant. When he was alone eating breakfast in the hotel, and he looked at other people using their mobile phone, and he doesn't have a mobile phone himself. He get bored and he get jealous as well. He said, I'm jealous of that guy sitting next to me using a mobile phone, and I cannot. So this kind of very interesting emotions. And also such as my participants traveling to, I remember it is in Vienna, and when we are when he was in a bridge, kind of historical bridge, and you want to check out the history of the bridge. And he suddenly realized, oh gosh, I don't have my mobile phone, because when I have my mobile phone, I can always get out and quickly type in Wikipedia and can find the information straight away. But he cannot do it anymore. So he got frustrated. But slowly, people kind of get used to it as well. They know the alternative solution for that, such as bring a travel guide book or getting an extra maps. And that really helps them as well to get a better sense of the city. I actually did a digital detox myself as well. And I realized when I do digital detox on holiday, I have a much better sense of directions of the city when I'm traveling. So I know, okay, after one day, I know roughly where is the cathedral, where is the main street, and I can literally point out straight away. But if I travel with a mobile phone, and I normally just follow a little blue dot, you know, a little blue dot on Google Map, and following the direction. So when I'm busy looking at the blue dot on my screen, I actually losing the opportunity to gain the sense of the city, also the sense of direction. And this is one of small examples as well. I also find myself, my senses are much more sensitive as well. So I kind of feel without the mobile technology, it free all my organs, my senses, mm-hmm. Such as the smells, such as the hearing as well, the eyesight. So I can actually free all my senses and engage more with the destination, which is when you're too occupied with your mobile phone, you cannot actually do that.
What it seems like, Wynn, is that we as human beings, there are a couple of things that we like. We like being in control. We like feeling safe, and that if we need something, we can, you know, all by ourselves find a solution and change the situation. Now, in the good old days, I mean, I will share with you, I don't have a cell phone. I don't use a cell phone. I think I told you that. But I'm in my 70s, so I have no interest in it. So, you know, in the old days, we had to have resources. We had to be prepared to go on vacation. We had to have a book of maps. We had to have a sense of, well, what would I do if this happened? Or, you know, how will I go to the American Express? Or how will I go to, telegraph office? Or we would have a sense of how we would take care of those things without the use of a cell phone. And I think that they're both the same set of needs, and they're both the same set of imperatives for human beings. It's just that in the old days, it took time. And today, everything is so instantaneous that, I mean, it's the same thing. The problem is that we're moving, our nervous systems are moving faster and faster and faster. And that's why I think people are getting agitated, they're getting impatient, they're getting nervous, because we have, what was the expression I heard one of the, I was listening to a show and one of the hosts said, the way it is people want it and they want it now.
Okay? Yes.
Everything is
exactly,
about.
Exactly, exactly. So, and I think when you, in old days, when you plan those trips, and the planning actually becoming a very important part of your vacation as well. But nowadays, I would say, so actually I'm going away tomorrow. I'm going to Napoli in Italy, Naples.
Oh, wonderful, yeah.
And I actually didn't plan anything because I kind of know, well, if I need anything, I can just get my phone out and check. So it is kind of, I actually feel bad about that. I feel bad because before I like to plan things. I like to read a proper book and kind of get to know about the history and everything before I go there. And I feel like I'm not going on holiday like this without any planning. It's kind of missing a certain part of the fun as well. It's kind of missing an essential part of the holiday.
Right. One of the things that, we talked about that I found really interesting, because what I'm talking about, what you're talking about, I'm trying to bring into the conversation the whole idea of balance. Because whether you're using electronics or whether you're not using electronics, what it requires is a mindfulness. It requires an awareness and a balance of what you're doing. I think what we all find objectionable is that people are so distracted. They're just so anxiety driven because they think they're missing something. I was writing an article once about, like, why are people so obsessed with their emails and their cell phones? It seems like we're all waiting for something wonderful to happen. It's like, maybe the next text or maybe the next email, you know, somebody's going to, I'm going to go viral or I'm going to be discovered or she's going to say, I love you. I mean, it's like we feel we're missing something. And in talking about that, in talking about balance, we started to talk about your upbringing because you grew up as a Buddhist and you had, you know, a philosophy. There was a philosophy in your family that was very much along those lines. And you said that there was more mindfulness for you and that there was more balance. And we talked about the yin-yang and harmony and
harmony.
Finding that. Is that what you're hoping to do and hoping to bring to this subject and to bring to the topic of you know, use of social media? What is your objective in, you know, in doing the research? What would you like to bring to the table?
I would say, I would say Chinese culture in general, not just my family. We, Chinese culture have a very strong influence of Confucius, Confucianism. So we believe in harmony and we try to avoid conflict if it is possible. And the harmony is kind of highly embedded in our culture. I even wrote a paper about the harmony as well. So So last year I published another article to talk about Chinese backpackers, how they practice harmony where on holiday, because we are so afraid of confrontation. So sometimes even though we hate each other, we don't really bring in, we don't really confront with each other, and we maintain a surface harmony. But we also, of course, we believe in genuine harmony as well, and this is more difficult to achieve. But yeah, like what you said, I think if we didn't have that conversation last in the pre-interview chat, I probably wouldn't think about to link my own upbringing or my culture into this research, actually. But I just purely believe in we need to care more about the well-being and wellness, and especially nowadays, people are so addicted to their mobile phone. And like what you said, there's a real terminology called FOMO. I wonder, have you heard about that?
No, what is it called?
FOMO is fear of missing out. F-O-M-O.
Yeah, fear of missing out. Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly,
so,
yes.
That is exactly what you've been describing earlier. And we really wish this kind of idea can be further explored academically, but also in terms of practice as well. I know there's quite a lot of product out there already suggesting this. So if you look at tourism, travel industry, it's kind of becoming digital detox is becoming a trend. So especially this is highly related to, so if you have a digital detox camp, so people who sign up for digital detox camp, they normally go there, switch off their mobile phone, and they associate with meditation, yoga, group activities, some workshops. It's kind of highly related to wellness and well-being as well, mental health. So, and also in hospitality sector, quite a lot of restaurants nowadays, especially some posh restaurants, they'll bring in a basket on the table and suggest you to put a phone in the black basket and during the dinner time to avoid being distracted. And if you remember, probably 10 years ago or 15 years ago, a lot of cafe, their selling point is, hey, we have Wi-Fi, so come here, come to our cafe. But now it's, some cafe already start another trend to say, hey, we do not have Wi-Fi here. So
right,
talk
exactly.
to your friends. Talk to your friend instead of your mobile phone. So it's kind of becoming a trend in hospitality and tourism. But we really want this idea to be to have a bigger impact in daily life and to bring in the happiness on holidays. Holiday is supposed to be happy. So, and also bring in the positive part of the holiday and bring it back to the daily life.
Exactly.
And to see, yeah.
Exactly.
More balance.
We have to take another break, Wynn.
Yeah.
We've gone through another 22 minutes, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, it'll be the last portion of our show. Let's talk about health, health-related, connections with this technology obsession and with the constant use of the cell phone. I think the reason things are swinging back the other way, like don't, you know, come to us because we don't have Wi-Fi. It's like anything else in life. The pendulum swings all the way to the left, and then it's going to start to come back, you know, to the center. So I think we are searching for balance. So when we come back,
yeah.
Let's talk about balance. Let's talk about some of the things that you've discovered, and I can talk about some of the things that I've discovered about health and social media. So don't go away, anybody. We will be back with Wynn in just a couple of minutes.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way.
What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
Been talking today with Wen Cai. Wen is a professor, I believe you are, because you have your PhD, who is teaching and doing a lot of wonderful work at the University of Greenwich in London, and also been doing research and being involved with lots and lots of things that have to do with hospitality, tourism, and really taking a look at quality of life, if you will. And so before the break, when we talked about the health implications of, of being on the phones all the time, I'm sure you're aware that there's this huge push on getting, Wi-Fi number five,
oh,
right?
5G.
Yes. Just the research and the studies on the health effects. You know, 5G has been shown to cause cancer, bone marrow cancer, all kinds of disease, and yet there's this tremendous push to get this out and have, you know, and have a tower on, you know, every five blocks, so we'll all be getting radiated and dying at accelerated rates. What are your thoughts about that, and what are your comments about the things you've learned?
So I cannot comment on the impact of this new technology in physical health, because I haven't actually researched about that, so I can't really comment on that. But I can comment on how the impact on mental health. So apparently 5G, the main setting point of 5G is increasing speed. So it would be super fast. So which means you nowadays people probably on social media is mainly posting photos, but in the future it'll be more video driven. So more and more video will be posted, and I wonder how does this will impact our mental health as well, because video and picture do have quite different, people might interpret differently and in terms of video and photos. And also I would say probably for younger generation, they probably would be more addicted to videos content as well. And that could be, have potential negative impact to their mental health, especially for younger generation. And especially younger generation, we always see this kind of news. People get bullied and through social media, and also younger teenagers committed suicide because they think they're not pretty enough and they're not good enough, because when they saw the post from the a friend and family, everything is so fancy and so great. However, everyone know how to make a nice post. When I go into Facebook, I'm going to make a post. Of course, I choose the best picture. Of course, I might do some edit as well and to make it look nice. But is this really reflect to our daily life? Probably not.
That's a whole other subject. How these screens, I forget what they're called, but they're like films and screens that you use to make your skin look beautiful and make your eyes look. They're apps, I guess, that they use to touch up these photos. And
It's massive in China. It's massive in China, and all the girls, they would never send a photo out of social media platform without retouch. So it's getting crazy. And imagine that, the impact to younger generation when they're still establishing the ideology, the understanding of the world, the building up the worldview. And that would have a very negative impact towards their worldview.
Yes, exactly. The article that I was reading, this was research that was done on these, particular apps that are, making people, and they put noses on them and ears on them, and they glamorize them and all of that. They were saying that it's very destructive to a person's, self-esteem, because when they see themselves in real life,
yeah,
they're like, oh my God, they're used to looking at their skin being perfect and their eyes being white and gorgeous. And, they're used to looking at themselves, looking in this Photoshop. It's really Photoshop. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And, psychologically, none of us are perfect, and to perpetuate, the need to be perfect, the desire to be perfect. So from a psychological perspective, from an emotional perspective, from a sleep perspective, and now from a radiation perspective. Radiation has been proved clearly, absolutely clearly, to cause all kinds of problems with the human body and the human immune system. And now, because of this social media and cell phone use, they want to just explode it with the G5. And this has got to be just a dreadful, dreadful thing. Now, we only have 2 minutes left. What would you like to share, Wen, with the audience in terms of what would be a recap on what's a healthy way to have a relationship with your cell phone?
I think it's really down to you should take control of the mobile technology, not you being controlled. Because in our generation, we kind of grew up with the technology, and some of the younger generation, they probably born with a smartphone. So it's kind of, you take it for granted. You use it all the time. You're never thinking about the pros and cons. So it's really, I would suggest everyone to take a moment and reflect the relationship with the mobile phone, and not just thinking about, hey, I'm too addicted, and forget about it next day, but really make a plan to how to be more effectively using the mobile technology, and to be more, have a more balanced lifestyle.
Right. So for you, it goes really back to the philosophy that you grew up with, which is balance and harmony, and seeing that finding the middle way is really better, because we've gone from, overdosing on social media and cell phones and all of that communication to really needing vacations from it. So finding what's in the middle, finding the middle way, really seems to be the right way to go. Wen, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a delight to speak to you.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it was a delight to speak to you. And I would love to hear of your future outcomes on your studies. So thank you again so much, and best of luck with all
your
studies. And listeners, don't forget to join us again next week for another exciting, informational, and educational program here on Living Above the Drama.